Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode is brought to you by Pitney Bowes.
No matter what your small office needs or sends, Pitney Bowes SendPro C200 has you covered.
The C200 lets you send mail and packages right from your desk.
Plus, you can save 3 cents a letter and up to 39% off retail shipping rates.
Start saving today and get a free 60-day trial of a Pitney Bowes C200.
You can visit us online at pb.com/bonding.
That's pb.com/bonding.
Terms apply. See site for details.
Get out of the field and behind a desk and start sending mail like an anti-bond.
Think of the Pitney Bowes C200 as your own personal money penny.
Or Walther PPK.
And you know what? You can save 3 money pennies a letter.
Now we're talking. If you've seen Weird Al Yankovic play live, well, then you know he puts on an incredible show.
Well, Matt, he just wrapped up his ridiculously self-indulgent, ill-advised vanity tour where, for the first time, he played just his original songs.
There were 77 performances on this tour, and every show is unique with a different set list. The entire tour is available now on Stitcher Premium.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And for a free month of Stitcher Premium, you can go to stitcherpremium.com/Weird Al. That's stitcherpremium.com/Weird Al. Use the promo code BOND.
Whoa, hold everything. Before we even begin, did you know that James Bonding is coming to the London Podcast Festival? Oh boy. That's right. Sunday, September 16th at 7 p.m. Google all about it. I would list the ticket link here, but it looks long and gibberishy. But I'm confident you'll find it if you look for it. If you live anywhere near the London, England, United Kingdom, Ireland, continental Europe, United States, if you want to fly, area, come out and see us Sunday, September 16th, 7 p.m., James Bonding at the London Podcast Festival. You can also see some other shows like I Was There Too, Super Ego, Complete Woman, Spontanea Nation. It's going to be a real party. Good morning, everyone. Looks like we're all chipper and raring to go.
Welcome to James Bonding. I'm Matt.
I'm Matt as well.
Oh, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. We're going to cover the first two entries into the Daniel Craig franchise called James Bond.
We're here with Amanda Blasucci and Maria Lund.
Hey, guys. How's
Hi.
It going?
No,
happy Saturday.
I think I know I'm married to both of them.
Wow. Guys, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedules to sit through these movies.
Yes, of course. We're so happy to be here on a Saturday morning here in
sunny Pasadena.
Okay, they're being facetious because when everybody came in the door today, all three of them were a little bit like, oh, what a slog. And I'm like, are you kidding? This is a luxury and a privilege.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I'm so happy to be here. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Don't believe it.
I can't believe you would try to Matt-splain this to us.
Matt-splain it.
It was excruciating.
Are you kidding? Matt.
I'm sorry. I love these movies on their own. But when you're forced to watch them in a 24-hour period... Quite
First
frankly,
of all, you're not forced to watch them. You had a week. Second of all, I think you mean get to watch them.
Yes. I'm sorry. I do mean get to watch them. You're right. I had a lot of fun at some parts, and I had a lot of not fun at other parts.
Interesting. Yeah, and I know, Maria, you were texting me that this Quantum didn't really do it for you.
Well, I can't believe this is the first time you've seen Quantum of Solace.
No, I had seen it when it first came out.
Oh,
you did?
Yeah, I've never seen Spectre.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, which one? Is Spectre the most recent one?
Yeah.
Oh, why haven't you seen that? It's great.
I don't have an answer. I don't know.
Did you like Skyfall?
I did like Skyfall, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
For someone who loves Casino Royale so much, I thought you'd kind of eat these movies up.
Well, you'd think, but then when, you know, someone comes back for seconds and they get Quantum of Solace, you can see where maybe my...
We'll talk about that. I beg to differ.
Maria knows when to push away from
heavily.
The table.
I got what I needed, and I don't need anything else. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that doesn't taste like the first bite.
Okay,
yeah.
Take it easy.
The way that we're going to handle this.
This bite has sad hair.
Yeah.
He has sad hair throughout this movie.
Oh, I think he looks the best in this movie of any of his.
He's looking fine to me, but I will say I'm going to go on a bang tirade, so just prepare yourself.
I understand. Oh, I don't love when he has his bangs.
But his bangs.
Oh.
There's a lot of bangs going on. Maybe his bangs are included as well, but there's a lot of bang work happening in this movie. Wow. And I don't mean like bang, bang, shoot him up.
I know. Get ready for Amanda Lund's new James Bonding segment, Miss, Miss, Bang, Bang.
Yeah, there were a couple of missed bangs in this movie.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We decided that we're going to cover Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace as if it was one movie, but do it in two parts. So you'll get part one today, as you hear this, and part two in 2 weeks.
Wow, yeah. They got to wait 2 weeks end of the conversation.
An exciting conclusion, because quite frankly, I wish we had to wait 2 weeks before we had to watch Quantum of Solace.
Wait, what? I thought you liked this film.
I do.
Okay.
I do, but back to back, it's an interesting pill to swallow.
But that's your whole
theory. My whole theory, I know. And I said, let's try it. And we tried it. And but three out of four of us.
I thought your theory was because you had done this and that's why you liked it.
We had watched it right after, at some point, right?
Yeah.
Like it was like the week after. I forget when.
I can't help but
feel
a little betrayed.
Well, what was your theory, Matt?
I want you to know.
Okay. That it was better watching them back to back?
Well, I think Quantum of Solace is certainly better with Casino Royale fresh in your mind. I think if you're going to pop into the Bond franchise and you're like trying to pick out a library book and you pull Quantum and just watch it out of nowhere, it's like, what is this movie? It's like a half-done movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should cover that. If you're just listening to this episode, we covered Casino Royale before with Maria and Amanda, and I think it's no understatement to say that it was probably a two-hour love fest. We all deeply love this movie. Mm-hmm. And then Quantum, as everyone knows, has a complicated and troubled history and reception and past, so we thought we would tie the two together as they are meant to be, the only two direct sequels in the Bond franchise, and see what we get with them. So this whole thing will cover both movies almost as if they were one. We're not going to go Casino and Quantum.
I think it's the best looking James Bond movie.
Mm-hmm. Even more than Skyfall?
The color palette of it, I think, is just...
Of Quantum?
Of Quantum of Solace, I think, is just like perfect. The whole like land, sea and air situation.
Yeah, now, so that's something you're aware of. So the action set pieces in this are based on the four elements. You've got land at the core.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Why did you respond that way? What, you hate the four elements?
No, it just seems like something like a director would be like, okay, how about this? Try this on for size. Let's do the four elements. Okay. It's like a Cirque du Soleil theme.
I'm going to say right out of the gate that the Bond movies I tend to love the most, other than the undisputable Bond greats like Casino Royale or let's say, you know, like Goldfinger or something that just stand on their own as great Bond films, I love the outliers, the ones that take risk and do something new. So I love that they try some crazy shit in this movie.
So land would be the quarry. Desert?
No, the car chase through the quarry.
That's in the opening scene?
Yeah.
Okay, that's land, sure.
The desert... Well, you're not going to have a car chase on water, that's for sure.
But you can have a boat chase on water.
Okay, and the boat chase on water. Okay, and then there's
sky
air.
Chase.
That's the one he's in the plane.
Sky chase, I'd watch that movie.
Sky chase. It's a sky chase. All right.
So that's when he's in the plane with his friend, banged friend.
Yeah. And then fire at the hotel.
Oh, that combustible hotel.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I'm getting that.
Okay.
That's coming through loud and clear.
Okay. I'll be the stand-in for the listener here today, as they are, because I feel like you guys, I'm going to have to defend this.
No. You think there's going to be enough people that need it to be defended?
Yeah, I do. I think that I personally, maybe it's my own bias, feel like Quantum of Solace is on the rise.
So what was the reception?
I agree.
Yeah.
What was the reception when
it
came out?
The reception was lukewarm, but it's also, it was a troubled production. It was right when the writer strike hit. In fact, it hit right as they started shooting, I believe. So Daniel Craig and Mark Forster were forced to kind of like come up with dialogue that couldn't be written down, but just say like, I'm going to say this.
Oh okay. My God.
Yeah,
that's tricky with Bond when everything is so, you know, it doesn't really have a loose improv feel.
Exactly. But they weren't improvising. They were kind of formulating on set. And that combined with what I think, Maria, you mentioned in a text I agree with, is probably gone too far in the frenetic editing way.
Yeah.
But if you scaled that back and then had another draft of this script,
and maybe some character development, or no, or you weren't missing that at all.
What character development?
Just anything where any character grew in any way, or any character mattered.
What are you talking about?
You don't think James grew?
Camille, James, Mathis, you've got some development for all those characters.
Well, they were both out for revenge, but it was, I don't know, it was muddy to me exactly what the arcs were everyone. It was just, I don't know, but maybe we're diving too much into quantum.
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning and know that we're going to fight later. All right.
Well, here's my first thing with Casino Royale. Right?
Yeah.
Beautiful movie. We love it.
It's gorgeous. It's the best movie ever made.
One of the greatest entries into the franchise, if not the greatest entry into this franchise that has 24 movies in it. I think the beginning of this movie, when it's black and white and he's going to get his second kill, I feel like he should have let that guy finish his sentence. When he starts to say, and the second is... What if he was going to say, is my son's birthday, please don't kill me until then?
Or what if he says, very difficult and it will change your life's trajectory forever?
Yes, I want you to understand this, James, before you... I know you have to kill me, but I need to tell you a few things.
Yeah.
Like, let the man finish his sentence.
Nah. Although that's a pretty great moment.
Yeah.
I have to say, when this film starts, even before you get to the movie, and it's just the logo, is it... Columbia? What is it? Paramount?
It's an MGM logo.
No, but then there's the woman with the torch.
That's Columbia.
Columbia. That's in black and white. And that, this time watching, gave me so much nostalgia for seeing it the first time, even at that moment in the theater going, black and white? Columbia logo? What are we doing here?
It's like when I saw Moulin Rouge. And remember, they do the dun 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 dun, but then it turns into the Sound of Music.
Oh.
And that really...
like the main title to Sound of Music?
Oh, yeah.
And then it was that, seeing something like that can really go, wow, this is something I've never seen before.
Yeah,
it's like when they do the Warner Brothers logo in green for The Matrix.
Yes.
You're like, wait, what's this all about?
And did you guys see The Nice Guys, that they used the vintage Warner, like 70s Warner Brothers logo for that?
Oh, no, I didn't see, but Mamantis says good things.
I love that movie.
Oh, yeah, Matt and I both really liked it.
Yeah. So this opening scene, black and white, I caught something I never caught before, which I know Bond has always said, I know where you keep your gun, but I didn't realize that was an answer to the thing that Dryden had said before of shame. We barely got to know each other. And he's saying, well, I know you enough to know where you keep your gun.
Yeah, actually, that's the first time I caught that too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you only catch that because he thinks that he caught that and said it out loud? And then because... I would never catch that.
You didn't catch that?
No.
It's not totally clear. I would never have caught that.
In my life.
I guess like the 10th time you watch a movie, there's certain things that jump out.
But I feel
the heaviness in your voice when you say that. I do want to thank you for going through all
this. Well, I love Casino Royale so much that I'll watch that anytime.
Great.
The beauty of that movie, my God.
It's perfection. Perfection.
Yes.
Speaking of when Dryden does say, like, the second kill, he says you needn't worry, the second kill. And do you think at that point, because he's kind of pompous and like doesn't think Bond's a 00, but when he says you needn't worry, is he basically saying to Bond like, I know you're gonna kill me, don't worry, I'm absolving you? That's something I never really caught before. I always thought he was kind of going like, whatever your second kill is after this. But maybe he's saying like, I know now I'm gonna die, and here's a little advice for you. Which makes
nice
it pretty interesting, yeah.
Well, I think it's like, you needn't worry. The second I walked in here, I took some cyanide.
Mm.
Right? He never finishes a sentence. You don't know. Maybe That's James true. Didn't have to kill him. That's yeah. all I'm saying.
He needed to kill him to get his 00 status.
I feel like he was issued it already, right?
Oh, he was?
No.
This is what,
this is like what gets
yeah.
him.
Yeah, so he
like,
needed, no matter what self, you know... You know what I'm talking about.
I don't, but I think it's okay to let it go.
But does he get to like pick up the phone and go, "Hey guys, guess what? I did it. Killed that second guy.
Yeah, congratulations."
So he needs two kills to be 00.
Yeah. Apparently.
And like kills, do you think he killed before becoming an agent?
No way.
He might have because he was in. I think he was fought in Afghanistan. Through the SAS or something, so he may have.
Oh, and he probably
service.
Went rogue in there too. They never keep track of him. Probably yeah.
third movie in a row that he goes rogue is the Quantum. I mean, yeah. but he's just rogue, and that's an annoying thing to me.
Yeah.
He's always going rogue.
Yeah, and it's like M is always going like, get him, somebody, get a hold of
get him.
Him,
but don't really get him.
Yeah,
Let
don't
him
really
do
get
thing.
Him. And yeah. then at the end, she's like, I misjudged you.
Maria's rolling her eyes.
Well, this just is... at that point, because it works so well in Casino Royale mm-hmm. that when they do the exact same story in Quantum of Solace, you go, well, yeah, this just like literally M just had this talk with him. If we're going in like the chronological order of the movie, like a week ago,
this is a problem. That and then in Skyfall, also how they're dealing with it's like, oh, you're at the end of your career and it just doesn't track. You know, it really should be. It almost should go Casino Royale, Spectre, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, in terms of the thematic elements of these movies, you know?
Well, yeah. you know, my theory. Everything that happened in the James Bond franchise happens between Quantum of Solace and Skyfall.
All right.
Thank you.
You know what I'm just realizing? Whoops. And, oh my God, the mic stand just almost fell over. Oh my God, it's happening again.
What's happening?
I'm just realizing now, because this is a continuation of Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, that none of the fun stuff happens that usually happens in a Bond movie, which is him getting stuff from Q or like any of that stuff mm-hmm. is just completely not even part of it because he's not even doing his job, really. He's just rogue.
Yeah.
Same with Casino Royale, though.
But
no,
he
but
has
he goes
this
to Q in yeah, Casino Royale.
He gets
no,
his.
He doesn't have a Q.
Yeah, he gets his little heart thing.
Oh, but that's not Q.
Oh well, where is that? He gets the car with the special things and with the special heart palpitation thing.
He's
or
given
it
a
is.
Defibrillator okay. in a glove compartment,
and we get to see some of the gadgets.
Yeah.
Q's not in Casino Royale.
No,
or Quantum.
He doesn't. I think
show
he
up
is in
Skyfall.
Quantum, by the way.
How? So?
I think they were. That guy that comes to them about the money. That this, and then yeah. Tanner says not in the mood or not the time.
Yeah,
I feel like they were trying to insinuate that was cute. Mm.
Well, it is interesting that they like Casino Royale gets rid of everyone but M and Bond, and then in Quantum you get Tanner back.
Yeah,
and then Skyfall you get Q and Moneypenny.
Right.
No Moneypenny either.
Well, but Tanner's serving as Moneypenny in this movie, right?
And, yeah.
Yeah.
You like to see him kind of following orders, not following. You like to see him get an order and not follow the order. You don't want to just see him off the rails. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happens in
He's
Quantum
very
Songs.
Off the rails, I think. Yeah. I think that's sort of always been an issue with my viewing of the movie. And the fact that, like, the rogue 007, for that to be the third time in a row that they did that. Really was annoying to me.
Is it, it's the second time in a row.
Third time in a row. Die Another Day, he goes rogue.
But that doesn't count.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, that movie
what do you
count.
Literally mean that doesn't count? I'm going to ask you as a friend. I'm putting well, my podcast co-hostness aside.
We're rebooting. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like the okay. rogue thing as right, much either, right, but right. I don't think Quantum is the big... I think Quantum handles it better
So you're
than
saying
most.
Because it's a reboot, they're okay to repeat themselves immediately after...
No, I'm not saying it's okay. It. I'm saying... It isn't as big a sin as I think.
I just want to hear other, what you're saying. So
other Bond movies have done with it. Like it, I don't know. Maybe you're right.
I guess that doesn't bother me. But yeah. it. Well, what was the time? How many years before Quantum came out after Casino Royale?
Just two.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I understand what they were thinking because in Casino Royale, it was like Daniel Craig is this like edgy, darker version of. Bond, and so they were like, let's take that we did so well, let's mm-hmm. take it even further.
Yeah,
and And like his arc, I think I understand of him becoming kind of bitter and heartless after trusting no one, but
yeah. I think we should, well, let's get through Christina Ricci a bit, and but I want to talk about character arcs, and then you're right, it does take a step farther into like darker territory, and I feel like they correct to the other side of Casino Royale with Skyfall, and then with Spectre especially.
Interesting.
And I prefer them. I think I liked this direction, and maybe if Quantum is as far as they go, that would be fine. It doesn't have a lot of humor, but I think it suits Daniel Craig's style better, Casino Royale and Quantum, than the other two.
It's interesting that you say that. I wonder what it would be like for Daniel Craig to play a more traditional Bond.
Spectre was that.
I wonder what it would be like.
Skyfall and Spectre are pretty close to that. As close as they can get for his Bond, I think.
I think you're not giving Daniel Craig enough credit as an actor.
Wow.
I think I'm giving Daniel Craig a lot of credit to say that he's the only one that could pull off these full-on dramas. Like, where Roger Moore, his best movies for us are the ones that are the wackiest.
Yeah.
I think Daniel Craig's best films are kind of the ones where he get... Like, he has some good acting scenes with Mathis and with M and Camille in this, I think. Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we will. But... So, Casino Royale, post-credit sequence. The song's grown on me.
Yeah. Grown on you? You didn't like it at first?
Not really.
Dunna, 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 dunna. Oh, my God. Is there any...
And rest in peace, Chris Cornell.
Very nice.
He died?
Like, yeah. Right?
This is the first time we've handled this movie since... He passed.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Chris.
I like when he does that. Then.
Oh, and I love right after that when they do that like double drum hit, which is right when the graphic of the gun goes off. But it feels like the gun is firing and you get a little echo reverb.
I think that
done very well.
This is the first time I've like truly appreciated how cool those opening credits are. And I think part of it is because I think since the last time I watched Casino Royale, I've seen a few other Bonds, the old ones, you know? And these credits are like,
you see how
so
they're
good.
The exception to the rule.
Yeah, definitely.
Exception to, what do you mean the exception to the rule?
Like the naked ladies.
I know, but those really are, it's like watching the Apple iTunes. Like, yeah. I love watching Bond openings because it mesmerizes me.
Yeah. But I mean, I those like are all good in their own right.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is just so cool. And something about Casino Royale feels like so... timeless, like the way that everyone looks. And I know there's some sort of, what year was that?
2006.
So there's some odes to the time, like in the fashion choices and stuff, but it feels so much more timeless, and somehow Quantum feels so much more dated.
Really?
To me.
I think his fashion is best in Quantum, actually.
He's got a couple good moments, but nothing stands out.
I think his
out.
Clothes fit better.
Oh yeah, well, when he's at the opera, that suit fits him like a glove.
The one that he finds. It's not even his.
But by the way, I like that guy that is looking for his tuxedo is like pretty much jacked, just like Daniel Craig. Yeah. So you buy it.
Yeah.
There are two Craig lookalikes in Quantum. One is the first guy he kills on
Mr.
that balcony.
Slate.
With those.
But he doesn't kill him. Or he does.
No, the guy he pushes off the building. No, the guy he kills on the balcony when he gets to Haiti.
Both. There's really three. Yeah. I think Craig, when they do the final attack on the hotel at the end, what he's wearing is so cool. He looks like Steve McQueen. He's got that kind of like motorcycle jacket on.
We'll get it. We'll get to that at the end. I think that's a Tom Ford jacket.
I'm sure.
Because
they switched to Tom Ford for Quantum from what?
Brioni. From Brioni.
Yeah.
How come?
I think they just wanted to update the cut of the suit, etc.
Wow. How much does a nice suit like that cost?
Like one of Bond's?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
A Tom Ford, probably like if we went to get a fitted one? Yeah, probably between $6,000 and $8,000.
But I mean, it looks great.
It look like every penny?
Yes, it does. It really, really, really does. A nicely fitting suit is...
But here's where it's better to be a guy who can wear suits. Like a $6,000 and $8,000 gray suit as a man, you can wear that 250 times with a different shirt and tie.
Yep.
But
that's
then, like,
true.
If you're going to spend $6,000 or $8,000 on a dress, you're like, oh, I can wear it here. If no one takes my picture, I might be able to get by with a second dress.
Well, you can wear it again as long as you have different shoes and a different face.
Yeah, if you wear one of your masks.
Different face.
I have a question. What do you think happens to Carter, who is the guy in the Madagascar, his like little protege partner?
Stop
with the,
touching your ear.
Yeah, and he falls into that pit, and that's the last we see.
Are we meant to think he gets eaten by the snake?
I don't
think so. He doesn't get eaten by that snake.
Eaten, not bit, eaten.
Snakes can open their mouths really wide.
I don't think cobras can, though.
I don't.
Well, you'll have to show me your facts on that.
Maybe a spin-off movie.
It's another Matt splaining.
Okay. All right. Snakes don't eat people. People eat people.
I was wondering about Carter as well. Like, he just falls after shooting his gun and then is just left there. Everyone spreads away.
He did it to himself. Can we blame whatever happens to him? I mean, he did all of that training with, you know, he was British. Was he British or American? Uh-huh. Yeah. He did all the training. He's a secret agent. He's out on the field and he still doesn't know that he's not supposed to touch his earpiece in his ear.
Yeah.
I know. But that does seem like something I would do.
You know, I'm gonna have to say we're gonna pass Agent Carter. The one thing he couldn't get, though, was that you shouldn't touch your ear. I'm sure he'll figure it out in the field.
Yeah, that's sign off and send
that's
out.
No big deal. When and because this parkour chase is so amazing, I like to go back to 2006, and I don't know if you two remember this, but there was a huge uproar against Daniel Craig being Bond. For one, it was like, he can't have a blonde Bond. They're also like, he's not good looking enough and all this nonsense. So when this movie came out, those guys quickly basically shut up. There were a few that held to their guns. What point in this movie do you think people were sitting there going, okay, I'm in? Like, even though I was against this, like, they're seeing something they'd never seen in a Bond movie before.
First scene.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you think it's the black and white scene? For those resistors, it was that parkour sequence where you kind of, like, he just barrels his way through that, culminating with the gun being thrown on top of the crane. I don't know, at least at that point, if you haven't, like, given over to that, you're never gonna.
There's nothing better than that parkour sequence. It was nothing you've ever seen before. Also, parkour was this like new hot trend, but it was just like, I mean, that's what's great about Bond, right? Is that they normally like take kind of what's new, or they usually are trying to show you something you haven't seen done before. Yeah. And I think that's why that is also so cool. But it's also so timeless and it holds up so well, that whole sequence.
I think the thing that's great about it is that what really works about that parkour is Bond's contrast to it, because in past Bond movies, they probably would have kind of like tried to make Bond do the parkour. Core or something like a Brosnan sort of thing.
Oh God, how about Brosnan doing parkour?
Oh, he has to go to like a gym with a trainer for a month to learn how to get jump over on a blocks. Wall.
Here's
they put
the
him
deal.
On soft blocks so he doesn't hurt himself.
I don't like thinking about that.
Over a ball
man
pit.
Man loves paddle surfing.
Ball pit. They just put him in a ball pit and to have him practice.
I think you're unfair. To Pierce Brosnan.
I know you think that, but that's
I haven't
story.
Seen a Pierce Brosnan Bond since it came out, I don't think. I'm really blind to his
greatness.
I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should have you back for a Brosnan.
I disagree, though, that they would have had the other Bonds do parkour.
Well, maybe not. But
none of the other Bonds in your brain could possibly do parkour.
Yeah, but I'm saying the smart thing was to juxtapose what Bond's doing to the parkour.
Well, like, definitely. I like what Daniel Craig is doing. I also feel like Connery's Bond would have watched him jump up the building and like elbowed a pin out of like a steel girder and the whole thing would have come down.
He would have just like taken a stairway kind of jauntily jogging down.
Yeah, like
just
looked up
at the
looked,
end of the road.
He would have just looked and guessed where he was going to come out and just gone up an elevator. Can and the elevator would have opened, and he would have been standing there with his arms folded.
Right. Let me just say this really quickly, because we are talking about the two movies together, that the difference between the greatness of that action sequence in Casino Royale of the parkour and being able to see kind of what's going on and just the coolness of the stunts, I didn't get any of that in Quantum of Solace.
It's troubling in Quantum of Solace.
Because everything's so quickly cut away from that you don't even know what you're watching. It just looks like a blur.
Well, they kept doing that thing, too, where they cut from the fight to, like, you know, the horse race or the fight to something else that's that is happening simultaneously, which I think was obviously a deliberate choice because they did it more than in one action sequence. But it's kind of like, it's not that cool.
Yeah. It's a problem. And I think part of it, too, is they had this rushed editing schedule, too. The director has talked about that, saying, like, I normally have, he said something like 3 or 4 times as much time to edit a film. And for a movie this, like, just tall order of a movie, he had so little time to edit. And I think the editor was working with this assumption that it's got to be like a Bourne movie. Yeah. And it does kind of cost a little, takes from the movie.
It's the shortest one ever.
Yeah, shortest Bond movie ever. What do you think if Martin Campbell did Quantum of Solace?
Who's that?
I don't know. He also made The Green Lantern. I can't tell. But, honestly, that's what I can't tell about Martin Campbell.
I think he's proven his mettle with Casino Royale. That, yeah, maybe he can do some flubs.
I mean, of course. Like, it's like,
but that,
like,
movie's amazing.
You just wonder. But, right. So if he had stepped in and done Quantum, and Martin Campbell was given the short shrift schedule also, I don't know that he would have helped it.
Why didn't he do Quantum of Solace?
He didn't want to repeat anything. So he did GoldenEye and Casino Royale, and he felt fascinated by rebooting the Bond twice, but didn't want to follow that with the same thing.
Do you think they get him for the next one?
For, oh,
the next Bond? Do you think they wonder. Just bring Campbell back in?
I don't know. Huh.
I did, the one thing that did kind of catch me during the parkour sequence this time is when the guy pulls out his gun and he's out of bullets, because you did just see that in the opening scene, even though I know it was a different circumstance of the other guy shooting him, and it just felt a little coincidental to me that would happen twice.
And it's interesting on a technical note, when you run out of bullets on a pistol, your gun stays, the slide stays back, and so he should theoretically have known that he was out of bullets, because his gun would be in a weird position.
How many bullets are in a gun like that?
I don't know. Something like that.
Seven
is like,
or eight.
No, it's more than that. Those magazines have this like diagonal zigzag thing where they can hold like 12 or 16.
Oh, did he have a long mag?
No, it's not a long mag. They have, there's like side by side bullets that rest kind of like diagonal to each other. So like a Walther PPK goes in vertical, but these kind of go like this.
Matt's a gun expert. He's our Major Boothroyd.
That's right.
Because I had no idea.
Yeah, that's great.
After the parkour scene, when he blows up the embassy.
Listen to me.
Listen to me.
And by the way, that's not what he's saying.
Yes, I know. Yes,
it's French.
We covered this.
It's unbelievable.
Listen
every time.
To me.
Every time. Every time I see it, I'm like, can you believe he's not saying listen to me? Because he's clearly saying listen to me.
Yes, thank you.
Why would they make him speak French and say something that clearly sounds
exactly
English?
Like, listen to me. And that's exactly, he's going, listen to me.
Listen to me, I have to tell you about the second.
Let him go.
The second, my son's birthday.
Listen to me.
It's my son's birthday, don't blow
something
me up.
Something big's going to happen on the second. Everyone's trying to tell you this, James.
I just love that moment, like, and Matt even said, like, the editing is so seamless in this sequence. When you see the embassy sign, it like cuts perfectly out of the action. You see the embassy sign, and then when James Bond goes in, that guy's like in the office, like signing paperwork, thinking he's safe.
Yeah.
It's just such a great moment. And it says the character development is so, so spot on. Like, you just get, you don't need to hear James Bond even saying anything. You totally
get
what kind of person he is.
It does the best type of character development, where it is giving you a really satisfying action sequence while developing the character. So you don't even know that you're watching character development half the time. You know, it's like the better way to handle exposition is in something like that. And I could see where you say that with Quantum, where it's like when they do their character development, they're taking breaks to do it as opposed to being fully integrated into the story.
There's a lot of downbeats in Quantum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'll save my thoughts.
Heavy lies the head that wears the disdain for Quantum of Solace.
Yes, yes, yes.
Don't you think they'd pull him out of the field immediately after that? I know that she tries. She tries to get him to come back in to be debriefed, like
after the
embassy blow up.
Yeah, she sends him away.
Yeah, it's just like, and also, I mean, the breaking into M's. Why is he doing that?
Because he's showing he's trying to have the power. It's a power struggle between the two of them.
Well, no, he also snooping on her computer.
Yeah, he needs the information on her computer. He has to get where that text message.
So he's like,
I know, but he wants to show her that he can do what he can do.
That's like the two things. Again, it's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
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 I just think it's foolish.
What do you think? It's rude.
I do.
It is rude.
Yeah, but that's Bond.
His whole arc, though, is he's so cocky, you know, and he's reckless.
Yeah. He's too cocky. Here's the thing, though. Yeah. He's so cocky, it never fucking comes back to bite him.
Oh, it does in the sunken elevator. Yeah, I'll
and
tell
it does
you.
In Quantum of Solace. This is an argument that I'm going to make for mm-hmm. the character development of this film.
Okay.
Strawberry Fields.
Forever. Anyway.
but also that. Beautiful Banged Persian woman? Queen. Dies in the hammock too.
Demetrius's wife.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But he doesn't care about that.
I don't think
in
he
Quantum,
cares.
M digs him and says, "Oh, you've got this charm, and you don't even like use it cautiously. Look what you've done." And he kind of registers a look like a moment of humanity where he kind of, you can tell he has an ounce of guilt for Field's death, I think.
I would argue that the humanity of James Bond is disassembled bit by bit over these two movies.
Disassembled?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were trying to teach him to learn him a lesson, but I think it was just unpleasant to watch in Quantum sometimes. Like I get what they're trying to do is like he comes out of Casino Royale kind of hardened, and so he's going down a bad path, and so I don't know, but it was just not fun.
It's like a revenge. Quantum of Solace is just a pure revenge movie.
What's wrong with that?
It just isn't very Bond, is it?
No, it isn't. And that's kind of why, maybe that's why it appeals to me, because I have this like knowledge of all these films, and I kind of like, I love one that goes off track a little bit. I don't mean plot wise, but just like,
I wouldn't mind a revenge movie. Like I liked that they were doing that. And I kind of like the relationship of him and that girl, his friend,
Camille.
Which one is she?
She's the
Bolivian Russian one.
Yeah, who was out for revenge too. I mean, but it just wasn't taken, it just wasn't clear, and it wasn't taken far enough. Like, it would have been cool if they were literally like helping each other get revenge. And I know that's what they were going for and what was kind of happening, but I could not follow the plot.
No,
so
This movie definitely
gets better with rewatches. And that's a fault against it, I'm sure, that you can't kind of like get all this the first time. I remember feeling that way the first time I've seen it, but every time I watch it, it gets a little clearer to me and simpler.
Why the producers were like, let's release this, because by the time they release the movie, they've probably seen it seven times.
This is very clear. You know, I didn't like it the first time, but I've seen it a couple times since. Let's put it out.
I think it's, you know, I do find the, I don't know, I found this experience in watching them both this time around, you know how we're talking about like, oh, I really enjoyed Dr. No more this time.
Yeah.
You know, I found that watching Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace back to back have sort of, they've soured me a little bit on Daniel Craig.
What?
Yeah. It's not his fault.
Okay, thank God. But why?
He's so handsome. So great.
Well, we're going to get Daniel Craig on the podcast
I've had him on.
I know.
I've talked to him.
Yeah,
he's
but
great.
Now that you don't
you
like
have?
Him.
Yeah.
Now that you don't like him, I'm going to do a little Pierce Brosnan revenge on you. You always want to get Brosnan on here.
Is he here?
Craig's here. Yeah.
Oh, bring Craig in.
And now Kachika's cool. performance.
He lets me wear his watches. Oh, no. Oh, it's
when
not his fault.
When was Daniel Craig on the podcast?
Not this one. On my other show. The late, great Nerdist.
The late Nerdist.
I'm so long. Farewell, Alvita, saying good. Anyway, but I found that this, I don't know, was I sympathizing with the character more and just sad for him? I was sympathizing.
Sympathizes.
What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought he goes, here we go. Sympathize. Is this another? No, I said this before when he goes, sympathize. I thought he said sympathized.
I always thought he said unsympathizers. Like he's talking about the lambs.
Yes.
I didn't realize until I saw the script that she says, how's your lamb? He says, skewered. And he goes, one sympathizes. I've just been skewered by you. Mm-hmm. We talked about this, I think, before.
Yes.
But I never got that from before.
Oh, that's...
I thought he just said sympathized.
And what did you think that
like
meant?
He's doing Shakespeare?
Yes. Honestly.
Wait, so we've got NOL.
Yes.
Listen to me and sympathize.
Sympathize it. But none of it is that crazy when you think about it.
Sympathize it is pretty crazy.
And NOL doesn't make sense.
Yes, it does. It's
he's
in a
drowning.
Bathroom.
Okay, but it's still a weird thing to say.
You need a well to use a bathroom. It's all water.
You don't need a well?
He meant a well of water because the sink was full of water.
I don't understand what a well
and
is
drowned him.
In
he
reality.
Drowned him.
A well is a hole.
No, I know it's a hole, but why is there water
it's a hole
in it?
With a, it's a spring.
Because you know when you dig, you hit water and you can drink it.
So someone digs a hole, puts a little brick thing around it, and then
always have to put the brick in the pail in a well, but that is that's like a classic well, yeah.
And
well,
why do they put the bricks around it?
So the hole doesn't collapse.
So
like the brick theoretically goes all the way down.
No, they line the entire well with brick.
Like I think in the well you're thinking of, the traditional well where you roll
yeah,
up.
Yeah, like a well
pail.
Like Baby Jessica would be found in.
Baby Jessica was not in a surrounded by dirt.
But wait, do those brick wells with the little arched roof and the pail, do those really? I mean, I'm sure they exist because they come from somewhere, but those are not what a regular well looks like.
Well, yeah, I think so.
I would if someone were to say, here's a well, I would hope it looked like that.
Snow White's wishing well.
Yeah.
At Disney.
Yeah, that's
and,
where it
you know,
from.
The voice of Snow White, she lived on Larchmont, and in front of her house was the wishing well. Like, she had a wishing well in her yard.
Oh, that's
did it
sweet.
Have real water in it?
I don't know.
Probably still
water. I never
walked
into her yard.
Still
I think those
sparkling?
Are more like front yard decorations now, those quaint little wells.
Well, then what is a well that you're talking about like?
A well is just... I don't mean to mansplain again. I'm very...
No, I would love to hear what your thoughts are on
finally.
Wells.
A well is just a hole in... Any hole in the ground that has gotten down far enough to reach a spring that can eternally bring up water for drinking.
Yeah, a hole, but how deep does
It depends on how deep it is,
and it's just like a hole of dirt, like a hole.
Or I guess you could line it with bricks or cement or wood or something.
Yeah, that's what a well is.
Well, you don't
want it's a hole lined with bricks or cement with a little arch and a bucket.
Yeah.
But that's not how that guy
we
died.
had a pump we had a well pump in our backyard.
Ooh, I love
those
things.
That's a well.
I love
thing.
Those
that's usually what a well is like on a farm, is just a pump.
And how does the water come out of that pump? What's the pipe? So they have just a pipe that goes down to the well, down to where the water is.
And I think isn't when you're handling that crank, it's like a plug piston in the pipe that is siphoning up the water or something.
Guys,
it's crazy how the world works.
Yeah.
Welcome to Well Talk.
In a well with Maria Blasucci. If you're an Earwolf fan, you should definitely be listening to Paul F. Tompkins and his podcast, Spontanea Nation.
On the show, PFT and his comedy pals perform narrative-based improv inspired by an interview with an amazing celebrity guest like LeVar Burton, Alison Brie, or even John Hamm.
I'm sure you know Paul F. Tompkins, if not from his many performances and appearances, but also his many guest shots on this podcast.
The one you're listening to right now.
And in honor of Pride Month, right now, Paul has all LGBTQ guests and improvisers.
Hear from our Earwolf friends, Cameron Esposito and Rhea Butcher, who are on this week's very episode.
And check out other guests from this month, like Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Natalie Morales from Parks and Recreation, and Earwolf favorite Drew Tarver.
These are all amazing people performing amazing improvisation. If you haven't heard the show, I recommend you immediately stop listening to this one and go check it out.
Subscribe to Spontaneous now. Hear it every Monday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can subscribe to both ours and his. It's fine.
Yeah. Support for today's show comes from Zipa.
Zipa, happy Z spelled backwards is more than a snoring device.
That's right. With a patented tongue strap that's designed to eliminate snoring with two key features, Zipa is an American-made boil-and-bite mouth guard that is a game-changer in the bedroom. Anything that's boil-and-bite is a game-changer in the bedroom.
Well, Matt, it molds right to your teeth, so you don't have to get any expensive devices from actual doctors. It's amazing. Other snoring devices only have one feature. They either advance the lower jaw, or they stabilize the tongue. Here's what Zipa does, man. It does both.
That's right. You don't have to tell me. I actually got this thing. I boiled it up in a pot. I set it to my teeth. I put it in my mouth, and I slept like a little baby bird.
A quiet baby bird. Not to mention it costs less than $100 since Zipa custom molds to your mouth just like Matt said. It's super comfortable.
That's right. There are no other snoring solutions like it in this world. Plus, it's been cleared by the FDA as safe and effective.
And if you're not happy with the product, you can return it within 90 days for a full refund.
It's no surprise that Zipa has a 5-star customer service and strives to maintain the highest reviews and ratings.
Matt, you and I are both Zipa owners. I'm a Zipa wearer on a nightly basis because, quite frankly, I keep my wife up. Or that is, I kept her up until I put this thing in my mouth.
Zipa-dee-doo-dah! Zipa and start enjoying happy Z's every night.
For your sake and the sake of the people sleeping near you, just go to Zipa, that's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com to learn more and use our code BONDING, B-O-N-D-I-N-G, for a free shipping situation.
That's right, Zipa.com, code BONDING for free shipping, and give snoring to the dumwads.
Pretend snoring is Blofeld and you're James Bond.
Now we're
talking. Now the Zipa's your Walther PPK.
Yeah.
With Zipa.
This thing's as effective as that time that assassin dripped poison down a thread right into Aki's mouth.
Yeah, you know, I think that the Zipa's a perfect kind of example of something Q would make because it does two things at once.
It comes from Z Branch.
Oh my God.
Get Zipa now. Let's get back to being friends.
We are all
we are friends.
I'm feeling alone. I'm feeling
you shouldn't. We're talking about Casino Royale right now. Have you ever felt more together than?
No, there's an energy in the room. Also, the three of you are seated in this seated configuration, just staring at me.
We're forced to join.
I feel vulnerable.
Seat forces.
Well, look, we can talk more about Casino Royale. Yeah. That's something fun to talk about.
Well, it's interesting on this viewing for me. I don't know what it was. Was my attitude poor going into it?
On Casino Royale, you weren't enjoying it?
Because I knew Quantum had to come afterwards, and I was like, this is 5 hours.
You didn't give yourself enough time.
That's probably what it was.
Maybe.
Did you literally watch them back to back?
No, I couldn't. That's not true. I did it in the same day.
Oh, wow. We did it
morning and night.
2 days. We did
2.5 days.
Yeah, we did 2/3 of Casino Royale, then the last act yesterday afternoon.
Boy, that movie is so long.
A little bit of Quantum. Oh, no, we did it last night, and then a little bit of Quantum last night, and then the rest this morning.
May I just say that Quantum took Vesper's theme and ran with it.
Yeah.
They were using that to put in a lot of heart that they weren't getting through the dialogue.
But
it was very apparent to me that they were putting that in there to pull at your heartstrings.
But I like the tie-ins of the two movies. That's another thing is we've never had a sequel before. So
boy, did he luck out that Demetrius was outside when that text message came.
Yeah, I know. There's a couple things plot-wise in both of these films that don't
really don't got mind. Very lucky. They spend too much time at, as great as an action scene that it is, I think they spend too much time at the Miami airport.
It's so good, though.
It's great. But I think this movie takes too long. I'm now like anti the running time of Casino Royale.
How long is it?
It's
2 hours and 40 minutes.
There are such. That's a long movie.
Is it the longest?
Yes.
Or did Skyfall or Spectre?
There are such distinct fact, parts to Casino Royale.
Yeah. Set pieces.
Yeah.
The set pieces are.
And it's almost like three different movies. It's like there's the last part of the movie with Vesper, and then there's the middle part at the casino, and then there's the before
Miami
part
airport,
at Miami
Bahamas
airport.
Body Works.
And then there's the whole beginning part. So it's like four movies.
Yeah, I think it is three pretty clear, distinct acts. And it does. I understand it's a long movie, but I am
The poker's terrible, too.
No, that's not true.
It's bad poker. It's the worst poker I've ever seen in my life in a movie. Like, these hands are insane. To have four people all in on a fucking wet board with a flush like that?
Because they're all confident. They're all male.
I know, but like, the odds of that, I do. Just as a poker player, it's just
crazy. But how about as a movie enjoyer and a human being?
Yeah, and not everything could be rounders, Matt.
Someday, everything will be rounders. You'll see. You'll see.
But that's the
Malkovich.
Sort of the same thing as saying, like, at that point when he's driving along in his Ford rental car, he wouldn't have had a smartphone that could track that kind of thing. You know, like
I had one back then.
Suspension of disbelief.
That was not out of the realm of possibility.
Suspension of disbelief is what I'm saying.
I mean, I get it from your perspective where it would have been nice for it to have been really nuanced and accurate. It's not something I noticed.
Yeah, I didn't need to have, I guess what I want to say out loud to everyone is I didn't need to have a four-way all-in pot for the last hand of poker where each person beats the other person around the table.
Did you really feel that way the first time you saw it?
I didn't play poker enough.
But do you remember the feeling of him winning? Because I would argue that you're in a special class because you know poker well, but that is set up to create an escalation of tension that I think delivers. If you take the poker part out of it and just look at telling a story.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed much more a heads-up pot with the two of them. Like, if it was just heads-up with those two. I wonder if the other guys are going all in for it. That's just like the craziness of it.
But they have like three times where a pot has to be tense, and they do a heads up pot the first time when he loses.
Yes, when it's aces over queens and or aces over kings. And he had pocket kings. He had quads, right? He had quads. Bond had a full house, and
this is
Lashif had quads.
Maybe one of the most extensive and long poker sequences in any film. And the fact that they can sustain it and kind of make it interesting.
You know, it's
that
notorious. It's notorious when you have discussions with other poker players. Like, it's notoriously the worst poker in a movie.
Mm.
Isn't that
Mark McConville has said that too? And he said that the first night we saw it, he came out of it saying that, and I was like, "This is your takeaway?"
I mean, I guess it's like saying, you know, that second World Series game in a league of their own doesn't, you know, it really doesn't play that they'd have to put Dottie in. Then you get to be crazy about baseball.
This poker game is there solely to serve as a battle of the minds between Lashif and Bond. And I think it does an excellent job of that. It is not there to entertain you with a poker game. It's there to make their showdown.
Honestly, no. It's because it makes Lashif look stupid. Because if that was a real poker game and Lashif only had the boat, he would look at that board and go, would James Bond be playing 5-7 suited in this pot? Yes, look at the turn. Like, for a poker player of Lashif's quote-unquote caliber to have shoved all in with not possibly the best hand in the scenario where three people before him have gone all in, he does not have the best possible hand. If three people are going all in before it gets to... It's like...
Well, no one has the best possible hand. And Bond got his on a...
No, Bond does. He has a straight flush.
Yeah, but there's a royal flush. Like, he doesn't have the
best out, pot. Not out on that board. It's impossible to have a royal flush with what was on the table.
Uh-huh.
So, like, that is the best possible
but
hand.
Mark McConville once explained it to me that the reason he didn't like it is because Bond's hand in the end turns out to be a lucky draw, not a play.
Yeah, but I don't mind that.
So Lashif wouldn't have expected that to happen.
Well,
that was part of it, wasn't it? That he was being reckless with the way he was playing cards. So like the fact that he got that at the end was like a few type, like, whew.
Yeah.
Well, it was like how Lashif beat Bond. By getting that king on the river and then having quads.
Yeah.
You know, that was similar, and I didn't mind that, but just what I didn't buy, and I'd love to talk to Mark about this next time he's on, but like the whole idea that Lashif, because Bond only shoves all in after the river card.
I'm going to say, why do you seek the cup of Christ, for his glory or for yours? Does this bother you because it's insulting your knowledge of poker, or it's a good scene.
No, it's not a good scene because Let me say this correctly.
Like, you're fixating on things.
It is a good scene, I think, if you don't know. Like, if this was Baccarat, I wouldn't know what was happening, so I'd be like, oh, cool.
Exactly.
Yes. So, in that sense, yes.
Yeah. But you're mad that they're treating the audience as stupid and saying...
Now, it's that if you actually watch poker, what they're going for and how they've been battling brains throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense for the characterization of Lashif. Like, Lashif being such a numbers guy and so aware of what's going on at the poker table, he's not bluffing.
But they have to make this also playable to a layperson's.
That's why you have Mathis there. He must go all in.
I know, but if he's to explain what you just explained,
you know,
all of that,
if I was best for, I'd be like,
done.
All right. You know? Well, I think
what she's doing,
yeah,
right?
She's like, I got it.
Yeah, I think that they're taking liberties, which movies always do. Yeah. I mean, ideally, they would have made it as good of a scene and been very accurate in the gameplay. Yeah. And maybe they could have done that if they had done a couple more passes, but it didn't bother me.
Yeah, I'd like to also stress that I'm like going into the minutiae of this because we've covered this movie three times.
Yeah.
So that's fair. I feel like I can now, you all right, guys.
Let out your true feelings.
Well, let out just like a little bit of like more detailed nuance in the movie. The other thing that I found interesting this time, it's weird when you watch this movie analytically for a third time where you're like, I have to talk about this on a podcast, what am I going to talk about? You start to look for things, right?
Yeah.
So I was watching it and I just like, I don't buy their love.
What are you talking about?
It's too quick.
Wow.
First of all, the whole plan...
Is this where we split and do different James Bond?
This might be the end.
Oh, my God.
Let me just warn
see
you.
See us each in London.
Yes,
they're doing
it.
Roseanne without Roseanne. You got to be careful.
I know.
Yeah.
I am the Connors.
Oh, my. No, you're Roseanne,
No, I'm
friend.
The Connors.
You're Roseanne.
I'm the Connors.
Well, let's hear them out, and then we'll decide.
Okay, guys. Follow my logic here. And I'm so sorry if I'm offending you guys. I apologize.
It's not offensive.
No,
it's just wrong.
It.
We're just sad for you.
I can be wrong, and it's okay.
How what's it like
times.
To have lost that in your life? I mean, I think about that daily, the love between Vesper and Bond. It's all I've got sometimes.
You know, I think it's so manufactured. It's crazy. Just plot-wise, here's the thing. And back me up here.
Who? No, I don't think you're going to get this from any of
us. I actually didn't mean to say back me up. Correct me if I'm wrong, is what I actually meant to say.
No, we'll all do that.
Please.
Go ahead.
This poker game is organized by Lashif when the put on the stock fails.
Yeah.
And he loses $110 million of a terrorist organization's money.
Right? After 9/11,
someone
made a fortune.
Okay. Now, he sets up the game. What is the distance between day-wise him setting up this poker game and him losing all that money on the stocks? Conservatively...
Yeah,
let's say it's
a week.
Maybe. A week. Okay. So a week goes by and he has that. So he has Vesper in the treasury. Why? Just because Quantum is everywhere and has a bunch of people everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So he's always had Vesper ready to go.
Lashif hasn't. Quantum has.
What's
Quantum? Quantum.
Quantum is Mr. White's group, though. You don't find that out until Quantum of Solace.
I thought that it was that she just was working for the Treasury, and then when this all went down, they kidnapped her boyfriend.
They don't say when this happened. Yeah, I think it happened probably right when this whole thing came about, like after the plane thing. And
well, here's the craziest.
But I think they've already... he's already been implanted as her boyfriend for whatever contingency they're going to need to use.
Oh, they implanted him as her boyfriend.
Yes.
Her boyfriend was part of Quantum.
He's the guy at the very last...
With the Youssef. Canadian.
Yeah.
But he's a Quantum guy?
Yes.
And
oh.
So he
was not really captured and blackmailed. She was blackmailed, but he was fake captured. They lied to her.
Why?
He was in on it. He's part of Quantum, falling in love with these women... And then they set it up. They talk about this in Quantum with the Canadian girl. Like, he's going to now leave. You've got the same necklace. He's going to disappear and make you believe that he's been captured.
Oh, and then they're going
to
use you.
To get secret.
Oh, see, that wasn't clear.
Yes, it wasn't. I would love someone to draw this up for me so I could really see visually.
Yeah.
Essentially,
okay, but I see what you're
Vesper's
saying.
Vesper's boyfriend was not truly in love with her. He was pretending to be in love with her so that she would do whatever was needed to get him back.
It's wrong.
Okay? So the planting of the boyfriend and Vesper, this timeline for me is just so funky. Once you watch this movie for the 19th time and you try to analyze it on a podcast for the third time. It's a good movie, everyone. It's a great movie, one of the best Bond movies.
You can keep making excuses, but yeah. What I'm hearing at the center is Vesper and Bond don't love each other.
Yeah, here's why. they don't know each other long enough for this scenario
doesn't
to happen.
Matter.
I also, I find Hold her on. Hold her on. Appearance...
Hold on.
Wait, let him
finish. Yeah, wait, I want to hear what that
I
is.
Find her appearance in the movie, the timing-wise, just crazily convenient. As convenient as Demetrius getting a text message outside when
She's
he's dropping off
She's being given
his
her assignment through the Department of the Treasury.
Right. Her assignment now... So...
She's specifically assigned to this mission.
Here's what I don't understand. Where... At what point do they go... Does Quantum sit down and go, man, Lashif lost all that money. We better get him. You think he's going to organize a poker game?
No, hold on.
Probably.
No,
Should we
Matt,
get someone in the Treasury?
Stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
Please help.
Presumably, she's been with Yousef for a while.
Yes, correct.
And he's always been a sleeper agent.
Yes.
Then she's assigned to this mission and or possibly even assigned by someone in Quantum because we know that they're high up. But either way, if she's just assigned, then they activate Yousef with this plan because of this mission. So to your other point, there is a passage of time. We talked about this last night. After Bond's balls are beaten and they escape, there is... Who knows how long he's recuperating? A month or two, maybe.
Yeah.
And plus, there's a time after that where they're traveling around the world. They've already said, like,
well, it doesn't even matter. They're in love the first time they meet,
and they've saved each other's lives
because they both have similar. I believe they both have similar pasts, and they're both broken people, and they see something in each other that no one else can quite understand.
Also, he's never met a woman like her,
and she's never met a man like him.
Yes, that's right.
They've saved each other's
lives. And
yet
they can describe each other perfectly.
Yes.
They can. Because they're two sides of the same coin.
And you also see them truly begin their affair after he's recuperated. We talked about this too, that they kissed in character in their in their cover fields. But I believe that wheelchair kiss is their first kiss.
When he just smiles, when that Switzerland man comes and then he smiles.
That's the best moment
movie. Almost like they're still rolling and someone made a joke.
I think that was his honest reaction to that man's laugh.
That is so nice. She warmed his cold heart.
Yeah. Look, if you're falling in love with James Bond.
Yeah.
And you're in
when
the middle
you are,
of
this, you said if.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. When?
When you're falling in love.
When you already have fallen in love.
When you're in Montenegro and you're falling in love with a man as charismatic and wonderful and broken as James Bond.
I don't think she's even fully falling in love with him at that point.
I don't know. I disagree.
But
okay, so you're telling me that the love of Vesper, her falling in love with him, is happening off screen while he's in a coma?
No, it's happening throughout the entire process.
Yeah, that's why they take all that time
but
to put that in.
Here's my question. Why she could have saved everything if she had just let him know prior to him going down there for that last round of poker.
I don't know, because
James, you have to know. I just saved your life. I just plugged this lead in. I have to tell you everything.
No, not yet.
Right
they're still falling in love with each other.
I think that it's that thing where, you know, when you meet someone and you're like, I love you, but I might hate you. Do I hate you or do I love you? And then after they lick the blood off your fingers, you realize I love you, but you're still torn.
But that's before...
I know she's still torn. Okay, so she's fighting with her own feelings.
Yeah. What's your problem? Like, what do you mean? Why should she warn him? What do you mean?
No. Oh, I'm saying like
she's still.
She bargains with Quantum for his life.
Yeah.
Which happens.
It's so sweet.
Which happens between Aston Martin rolling over 14 times and him in the chair with his ball with his ball getting
it. Okay. No, it happens after both of those.
No, it happens before. No.
What does she barter
for?
She
barters with Quantum.
When Mr. White comes in with the gun.
Yeah.
The money.
The barter has been done.
Which I thought is what she
I think she does it
now.
Yeah.
I think the barter has been done because otherwise he'd just pull the trigger and kill Bond. I know that they eventually need that password.
No, but he comes in and sees Vesper first, and that's presumably when she says, save his life, I'll give you what you want.
That's, and what is she giving them?
The money.
But I thought that's what she was already giving them.
Exactly.
That's what I'm wondering.
Exactly.
What does she barter with? What does she give them that she wasn't already giving them?
Well, I don't think they were ever going to have to get it from Vesper. That's the thing.
She steals it from Vesper.
She had a plan to unlock.
Wait a minute. No, she was there to give them the money. She was there to withhold.
Yes, she
money.
Was there to. Well, that's her role as the treasury. But what she's really there is to actually. I think she's conflicted. She's trying to make Bond lose so she doesn't have to deal with this, right? She doesn't
want to
give him the money.
Well, that's what they want her to do, is so that if he loses, they get the money, and then...
Yeah, but he wins, so now they're out of money, and now they have to get this money, and the only way to get this money is through Vesper.
And she says, I'm not going to give it to you unless you let Bond live.
Yes.
And so that's why she has to go to Venice and give them the thing?
Yeah, so she's both falling in love with him and... having to do this thing she's dreading doing. What do you mean no? That's exactly
what it is. My reaction is not that you're wrong. It's just that I'm just like, no, on her part.
Why?
Why?
What because do you I wish you would have done?
That's what's so good about this movie. It's like, it's really...
it's a big one. Yeah.
It's very convoluted. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
No, convoluted. Matt, it's not convoluted.
The only thing that's convoluted is some of the stuff that goes down at the end, and that always has bothered. I know that they needed her to kill herself, but it's always...
Who's the they?
The movie makers.
Oh, right.
But it's always tears me up inside, like that all of that motivation at the end of like, because then Judi Dench says, well, I'm sure she thought they'd let her live, and then someone else says she knew she was going to her death, but then why did she?
Here's what I think it is. So she does assume she's going to her death. So she when Bond. Well, I think she thought she might be able to live if she gives them the money. But when Bond follows them, she feels so guilty. He's caught her and she can't just disappear. She wants to kill herself out of guilt.
Just
because
he found out.
Whoa,
so she thought,
yeah.
Is she thinking she's still going back to Yusef?
No,
I think she thinks she is going to die.
She took off her necklace,
yeah.
Her Algerian love knot.
Mm-hmm. But that's an interesting thing, too, is she says to learn you can't forget the past. That's a weird thing to say, too.
What does she say? Sorry?
She says, Bond says something like, you've moved on, and she says, no, I've learned that I can't forget the past.
No, I think she says, I've finally forgotten the past. She says,
that you can't forget the past.
She says Hakuna Matata, I think.
Well, I don't know if that's what she says.
For the rest of your days.
It's problem-free philosophy.
Is that what she says? Do you guys remember her saying that?
I forgot the past. In Quantum of Solace, though, someone says she loved you enough to not tell or to something about how she saved his life in some way.
That's when she negotiates for the money.
Yeah.
They're like, why didn't Quantum kill James? And it's because she negotiated. The money.
No, isn't it because he had the password and she had to get it from him?
It was Vesper.
Well, yes. He's not in my mind this whole time, and each of the 10 times I've watched this movie, Bond is not shot in the head by White because Bond has the password
no,
and they
it's
need that
because
password.
Because she negotiated for his life. Lines. Yeah, they say it in the movie. That's what M says. She says, you know, did you wonder why they didn't kill you?
Well, here's what I thought was happening. I thought they were like, oh, this is a wash. Here's what I thought Quantum was saying. Oh, damn. The British government won the poker tournament. We don't have the money anymore. I better go clean up all these loose ends and start killing everyone.
Well, then why? Then he would kill Bond.
Right. But I thought that he doesn't kill Bond because, to your point, I thought that Vesper was like, he has the password. Let him live. I'll get the password from him.
It could be both.
Okay.
I think it's maybe those things aren't mutually exclusive. Like that makes sense that it's both. But the thing that I'm always confused about is that the only reason she doesn't think she's going to her death. She thinks they're going to let her go and then she gets to go be
or
with James Bond.
But why does she leave her phone behind
for James, in case
she does die, right?
Yes.
Because then she has the number to Mr. White in the phone. So that's, she's leaving him a clue. So she thinks she might die. She hopes she doesn't. But when he does find her, she then wants to die?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she sees his face and realizes she's betrayed him.
But well, she would have found out. She saved his life.
But also, he would have found out anyway because even if they had let her live, that money would have been gone. And I think
it's just too much for her to see him. And after what she's done.
But what has she done?
She was having a pillow fight with him not 10 minutes prior.
Yeah, and she was planning to go back there to him.
She was?
Well, yeah.
I don't think so.
I'm sure she hoped they would let her live.
She means Quantum.
Yeah.
I think she... But I don't know that she was necessarily going to go back because he would then soon enough know that she's betrayed
him. Oh, so she was going to, if they let her live, she wasn't going to go back to James Bond?
Not necessarily. I don't know if she was going to go back to Yousef either. I think she knows her. I think she's like having the pillow fight all this time is finite for her. I think she knows it can't last forever and knows at some point she's going to have to give this money to them. And
why didn't she just tell him? Like after while they were sailing around,
it's a good question. But this movie isn't 100% clear. It's true. The reason we're all talking about it is because it isn't 100% clear.
Well, she maybe knew he would never. The only reason I can justify that is by the fact that she did kill herself after he found out. Maybe she knew that if he found out, he wouldn't love her anymore.
I think so.
That's why she doesn't tell him, and that's why she kills herself.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Oh, I disagree.
It's her pride. She's got pride just like he has.
It's also she takes his hand, puts it up to her, and kind of kisses his hand like he does hers in the shower. It's let me take all of this burden on and die.
But why? She could have just lived.
She can't deal with having done that to him. I don't think she can live with
herself. Maybe she couldn't deal with the fact that she had fallen in love with James Bond while she still loved Yousef.
No.
She did not still love Yousef. No one still loved Yousef.
No one loved Yousef.
And also, they probably weren't ever even in love. I'm sure he was like gaslighting her.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but the way he was treating that Canadian at the end of Quantum of Solace made it seem like he really put the moves on.
Yeah, let's walk to the convenience store and buy something and go back to my place.
I love that. I love that very hotel. Slight from the Canadian agent. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. I know. Thank you. Yeah. Can you imagine?
She's actually, I was watching that pretty intently, and she's really good when he talks about shows the necklace. She just does a little blink, like the whole motivation she's playing is, I'm so embarrassed. Like I have failed as an intelligence agent, person, and I am.
But back to thank you.
That is funny. As someone's gonna kill her boyfriend. Thank you.
Thank you.
And she runs out of there, goes to get it, calls her best friend.
Yeah.
Meet me at the bar. I need a glass of wine. Yeah.
You are not gonna believe what I just heard.
There's a hell of a sale at the convenience store. We got two bags.
Two
of stuff
for one
seven
bottles
bucks.
Of Kim Crawford. Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay. So back to. Well, I guess sort of my problem again now is with this, I guess I find so little logic in the actions of this couple in love.
Matt, you're not really being real with yourself.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think you're confused. I think Quantum of Solace may have confused you to a point where now you don't know what's up and what's down.
Right. I do think you're actually watching it, I don't know, like through the cracks in a way that it's not meant to be watched.
Again, yeah, and I will admit that because, again, I'm having to preface this, I don't know. This is the 900th time I've seen this movie. This is the third time I've had to talk critically about it. So I'm looking for things that I haven't seen before.
And I understand the questions behind the motivations because it is not super clear. And if you really care to know, you have to kind of do a lot of work.
And you have to do some interpretation, I think,
yes.
too. And that's
and
but it's
some...
valid.
But is it deliberate or is it poor storytelling?
No, I actually, because I am with you, I hate when movies leave questions as more of a like ease of not having to answer questions.
I think
the evidence is there.
I think that while we're watching the movie, Haggis and Wade and everyone who had a hand in the script should just do like, remember when you would watch Fox and they would be promoting like Joe Millionaire and he would pop up from the bottom and be like, Joe Millionaire, yeah. Wednesdays at 5.
You want like
I
a
think
pop-up
I would like
video.
A pop-up of the writer going like, what do you think?
No.
And just goes away.
The reason I love this movie, I think, is because there is room for a certain amount of interpretation and it does like lend to discussions about it, but I don't think that that's because it's not there. I think it's, you can actually say, I think it's this, I think it's this. And there's evidence to be made for different cases. And that's what's intriguing about it. Quantum complicates it in its attempt to simplify it. But if you just take Casino Royale, I think it's really there. And that's
agree.
What I like about it. That's the other thing is you don't get that kind of like moral ambiguity in a Bond film prior to this.
I just find that the relationship between the two of them I get that they fall in love, but I wonder how much of Vesper's love is real love.
Well, at the beginning, it's not real. She's putting on a face, but I think it's just a slow, they start to understand each other and they realize they, like, he takes care of her, like he protects her. You know, she really does get spooked downstairs or with the with the thing, and he, like, you know, comforts her, and she may have never felt real affection like that before, even from Yusef, because Yusef was a lying piece of shit.
He wore a black leather demi trench coat. I think the movie takes pains to answer that by doing what would otherwise be, and so the complaint the film often receives is that section where it is almost a scene after scene showing of them just on the beach, making love in a hospital room. And they always dissolve out of those things. So it's to show you passage of time.
My wonder really is, would it be any different? Would we look back on this movie? Like, you can't look back on it in a more positive light because it's already great. But wouldn't it be interesting if they ended the movie with him waking up in the hospital, and you do that little wheelchair scene, and that's the end of the movie.
My last note here is, what if this movie had a happy ending? Which
most
versions of this film that kind of exist in their own right as a film would have a happy ending. He would save her in that elevator.
Yeah.
How different would this film be?
Well, my wonder is, like, what if this film is as it is, but it ends after that smile from the Swiss guy, right?
Like they considered doing with Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
But in Quantum of Solace, we see the rest of the movie.
I think it's way better this way. Same thing with Honor Majesty's Secret Service. Because, you know, they shot that ending to consider using as the opening of the next film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Honor Majesty's Secret Service is better because of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But also because this is the novel, too, and I think that's a big reason why the novel works, is she kills herself, and it formulates who Bond is. She is the single biggest reason, even more than being an orphan and all that stuff, as to why he becomes the character he becomes, and it's why they do what they do with him in Quantum of Solace, I think. That is what I find interesting.
I know it has to happen, but it's so upsetting when she does that thing where she screams underwater.
Oh yeah,
and it's somehow so a vacuum upsetting. Sucks her to the back of the elevator.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how she shot that. It looks like she's actually letting water into her lungs.
It's crazy.
Harrowing.
Oh. It's so
horrible. Underwater? Like, did they film that underwater?
Oh yeah.
I thought they might have pulled a for your eyes only.
This is all practical, baby. Practical drowning.
Wow.
Yeah, it is so great.
I wonder if there's any maybe Vesper James fan fiction out there online.
I'd read that.
I would too.
Maybe just because
if there's any. Come on.
I'm just thinking maybe there is some nice.
Well, you should read Casino Royale.
Yeah, but I want them to be living in the suburbs maybe and just having like a little life together.
Like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
What do you think? Let's pretend.
The English countryside.
No, I think they're going to keep moving around the world in that boat.
So you think they stay
forever? They're going to settle down eventually and have a baby, and they're going to live in the countryside.
Yeah. British countryside, yeah, just somewhere.
Bond and Vesper fan fiction.
Yes.
Do you know what I think they do?
What?
I think they wind up back at Skyfall. And then it becomes a happy home again.
God, can you imagine?
And it becomes a happy home
again. Oh my gosh, and they have two kids.
And Albert Finney shows their tiny kids how to use shotguns.
And then they go rock climbing in the Swiss Alps.
No, James!
What are their kids like?
They're innocent.
You know how there's like erotic fiction? Let's do emotional fiction.
Matt's never looked happier.
The kids are.
It would be nice. That's the life James could have had.
Yeah, but do you think he would have ever been truly happy in that life, or would he have itched for?
What would he have done?
You know what? I think.
Oh, I guess he wouldn't have had to do anything.
Oh no, Matt! What are you seeing?
Yeah. Okay, this isn't that long. Should I read it? It is fiction, as if he gets her out of the elevator.
Yes, please.
Is this going to end in some sort of weird pornographic?
God, I hope
that's
so.
That's how a lot of fan fiction ends.
I'm sorry, James.
Well, that's because it's written right.
Vesper pulled the lever that sent the elevator plummeting to churning waters below. Bond's heart stopped in horror as he watched the machine disappear below the surface. Despite the building failing in around him, he jumped in the water after it, desperate to save the woman inside. The woman he couldn't live without. Mm-hmm. He swam frantically toward the elevator and upon reaching it began prying the door open. Mm-hmm. Vesper's hair flowed out around her in the water, giving her an almost angelic appearance. Bond never faltered in trying to break through the iron gate, which is capitalized like Trump, door as he noticed this. He couldn't let her die. He wouldn't let her. Despite the fact that they were underneath the water, it was obvious that Vesper was sobbing. I don't mean, I hope whoever wrote this, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you. She swam over to where James was prying the doors apart and took his hands away from the bars. She kissed them hard and pressed them to her cheek and looked mournfully at him.
So this is all that's in the, this is all in the movie.
Yeah, so knowing that this would be her last time to see him, she motioned for her to leave. She motioned for him to leave her to get himself out, but he shook his head and relentlessly shook the bars of the elevator. Two shooks. He saw her body shiver slightly, and he shook the bars even harder, knowing that time was running out. Finally, the doors broke apart. Vesper was weak, and her eyes barely fluttered by this point. James grabbed her arm and swam as hard as he could to the surface. As he swam, he felt her body go limp in his arms. He only kicked his legs faster. They broke the surface of the water, and Bond took a grateful gulp of air. He pulled himself and Vesper's limp form up to the remaining roof of the now submerged building. He began CPR, desperately trying to get her to cough up water she had swallowed, desperately trying to get her to breathe, desperately trying to open her eyes, to do anything. Vesper, come on. Please breathe. He kept trying to bring her back and continued failing. He was giving up hope. When he saw a twitch of movement in her mouth, he wasn't sure whether or not his eyes had deceived him, but he would take anything as a sign. He tried even harder, pushing down on her chest, harder than before, breathing more air into her lungs than before. His repeat of these words. Until he heard a faint cough from her pale form.
Oh, she, yay!
And that's where we're going to break for 2 weeks until the next episode. Up with the fan fiction of Vesper Lives, Quantum of Royale. Casino of Solace.
Wow. Matt, you son of a bitch. I have to wait 2 weeks for this.
Yes. Now let's quickly give our rankings.
Guess what, everybody? Maria Amanda, you've been on the show before. You know how this new phase of James Bonding works. We like to give each movie a ranking from 000 to 007. 007, of course, being the best. So, I guess over to you guys first.
007. A 100,000.
I love it. It's beautiful. 00. Everyone is perfection in it. It's extraordinary. The casting is amazing.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful movie. It's
Everyone
a beautiful way to live.
Is doing what needs
and
to
die.
Be done. And Vesper Lynn is like unlike any other Bond girl. She's so exceptional. Although I do agree what we've said before that they put too much makeup on her.
And the dress in the casino isn't.
The black dress is better. And also the way they overdo her hair is upsetting. But it's just too much earrings.
I agree with the makeup stuff.
It's too much. And she looks so beautiful when she's natural. I think it was a deliberate choice as her shell hardens, the makeup comes off. But... still.
Yeah, her armor is removed. Both of their armors are removed. It's thematic.
Oh, it's so and believe me, they don't need armor because those beautiful faces.
And then hello, all of a sudden by the end of the third act, we're in the Notebook.
Yes, we are.
Like, wow.
I am a hard and heavy 007. This is the only one I'm given for any of the movies. I'd give it a 0020 if I could.
Yeah.
And I think this is not only my favorite Bond movie, but maybe my favorite movie of all time. Certainly up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
007 for me as well.
Wow. Wait a minute, but you had so many questions.
I've watched it 95 times. I had to look for something, Maria.
Yeah, and you know what? It makes for interesting conversation.
Yeah. So tune in 2 weeks for the conclusion of Casino of Solace and James Bonding.
Will return. James Bonding Podcast.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. 8 nights.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer. Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins is crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.